Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Meant to Be, written by Fiona McCallum and read by Jennifer Valetti.
Hi, honey, I'm home,
Emily called, smiling to herself. What a cliche. I sound like a character from a soap opera. She dumped the four heavy bags of groceries onto the lino floor of the kitchen, then rolled the stiffness out of her neck and shook the circulation back into her fingers.
Jake?
She shut the sliding glass door she'd shouldered open moments before. He mustn't be far away to have left the door unlocked, she thought. Emily quickly unpacked the groceries, all the while listening for movement. If Jake was inside, he would almost certainly have come to help carry everything in. He was that sort of guy. And Grace would normally have bounded up to greet her. She wandered through the house but found no trace of either. By the time she finished, she was starting to get concerned. She checked her watch. Almost 2 p.m. She went to the bedroom to change into her farm clothes, thinking she'd look for them outside. Maybe Jake and Grace were exploring and hadn't heard her return. Entering the room, she said hello to Granny Rose via the big jar of buttons on the tall boy. The old Bushels coffee jar had been her gran's last gift to her, and together with its precious contents, it meant more to her than anything. Emily wrapped her hands around the cold glass and put her chin on the rough, slightly rusty, faded red lid. Again, she found herself wondering if Gran had remembered the rough diamonds in there amongst the buttons. The frustrating thing was that she'd never know. But she would have treasured it anyway, even if it weren't for the diamonds. Being a sentimental romantic, Emily loved the button jar for the symbolism it held. Trust Gran to hide her wedding gift from the Indian prince in there. Was it before or after that, because of the precious stones, that she'd decided never to take any buttons out? Over the years, Emily had seen many added, usually when Gran was cutting up worn-out clothes for rags, and had never understood why Gran would drag her off to the shop to buy new buttons whenever she needed one. One of her favourite things to do as a child, well, actually even now, was to rotate the tightly closed jar and listen to the hiss, whoosh and rattle the different buttons and other objects made against themselves and the glass. She couldn't believe that in all that time she'd never spotted one of the seven diamonds lurking about in there. Or perhaps she had and had dismissed them as one of the other strange things Gran had added over the years. Old coins, buckles, hair clips, the odd seashell. It wasn't like diamonds in the rough were anything that would catch your attention. But what a beautiful sentimental gift. Emily thought about the prince's letter, the evidence that the family story had been no myth. When Jake had first discovered the diamonds, she had immediately wanted to phone her mother up and gloat, "See, Gran was telling the truth." But that would have opened one big old jack-in-the-box, and there was no way Jack could be stuffed back in again. She had since decided to keep them a secret. If they found out, Enid and Aunt Peggy would no doubt argue they belonged to them as heirs, and then they'd cash them in for sure. Emily was grateful every day for whatever had caused Gran to thrust the button jar into her arms on that last visit, rather than see it end up amongst all the things they'd had to sort through after her death. Back then, she wouldn't have had the courage to defend her choice of keeping such an obviously sentimental and apparently worthless item. She was now much more able to stand up for herself.